So if you have been joining with us on Sunday nights, for the past little while, we've been going through Luke chapter 6 as we've been looking at the Sermon on the Plain or the Sermon on the Level and diving a little bit deeper into it. And so the last time we were here was back in March 8th. And it's amazing to think it's been that long since we've been in Luke chapter 6. But of course, so many things with COVID-19 have just superseded our continued study in Luke chapter 6 on Sunday nights, but we are back. But if you recall, and you were a part of that a few weeks ago, my sermon title then was Love, the Golden Rule. Love, the Golden Rule. And we were in Luke chapter 6, and we picked up with 27 and went all the way down to 31. Well, tonight we're going to continue with that thought that Jesus has given us, starting in verse 27, and we're going to go through the end through 36. So we'll be concentrating specifically on Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 36. And I've titled tonight's lesson, Mercy, the Godly Rule. Mercy, the Godly Rule. So if you have your Bible and you have found Luke chapter 6, if you want to turn with me to verses 32 through 36, and if you are able and at home and capable and would like to stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word, let's just look at these four verses. My wife is going to put these on the screen as I read with them. So Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 36 says this, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do what is good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful." Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again for the opportunity to be gathered in this house, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the gathered church in their homes. Lord, even as we are spread out, Lord, we are still unified in one spirit through your Son and the Holy Spirit that indwells in our hearts. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to look at your word and, Father, to see the importance of what it is to love our enemies and to love the way that you have loved us. And, Father, I pray that your mercy that you have extended to us would so permeate our hearts and, Lord, that we would see with new and fresh eyes that great mercy that, Lord, we would pour it out on others without expectation of return. Father, I thank you that we love because you have first loved us. And Lord, I pray now that you would speak and Lord, you would move me out of the way. Lord, use your words to speak to your people. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, I pray this in the sweet and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you guys again for being here. And as we go through this, just want to note that I do have a water bottle up here. As I drove to church this morning, like many of the rest of you, pollen is everywhere, is all over everything. And my white truck is now yellow. And as soon as we sat down in the truck and drove here and turned on the air conditioning, it was a blast of yellow dust right in our face. And so as I was preaching this morning, I remembered I left my water on the pew, and I was dying because of all that pollen in my throat. So now I have it here with me. So I want to apologize in advance. For those of you who come on Sunday nights, it's more relaxed anyway. If I need it, I'm going to take a drink from it. But what I want to do quickly is I just want to recap the last sermon. What we saw last week is, or I guess a few weeks ago, as we were looking at Luke chapter 6, 27 through 31, what we were seeing was a brand new love ethic that Jesus was given not only to the disciples who were present, but to everyone else who had gathered. He was saying to them, don't just love your enemies. And not only just, don't just love your enemies, do good to them. And don't only just do good to them, pray for them. And not only just pray for them, but that you should also give to them. You should let them have what they, if they take something from you, give them more. And so it was a radical, upside down, earth-changing new ethic that Jesus was given. And we ended with showing that Jesus himself modeled this for us as he went to the cross. But in this text, as you got down to verse 31, we have the golden rule. And it's something that we all know. And the golden rule says, just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. And so from this, the golden rule we were looking at, that even during that time, the kind of the Greek-Roman version of the golden rule is, do not do to others what you would not want them to do to you. It was a negative. Whereas Jesus is giving us this rule in the positive. Do to them, be active in your love towards them in the way that you would desire they do towards you. So you begin the process. It's not something you avoid, it's something you actually do. And so the Christian formula on this was also upside down in the world ethic. But what I think is amazing about this, and what I love about this, and the reason why I split this into two different lessons, is as we go through this, you could see in verses 27 through 31, there's a natural break when you get to 31. It's speaking of what we are to do for others, and then we get to 31, and we have the golden rule. And so it is about do to others what we would want them to do to us. And then Jesus, as he picks up in 32 through 36, he explains that more, but now he ends with what God has done and how God has shown mercy and that we are to also show mercy. So I think the first section, verses 27 through 31, is saying treat others as you would want them to treat you. Do that for them. But then 32 through 36 is now treat others as God would treat them. And so you are building on two things. You have not only the new ethic that Jesus gives us and that he empowers in our life through the Holy Spirit, and that there is now a desire of do to them what you would want, but now it ends with something even greater. Don't just do to them what you would want them to do to you. Do to them what God would do. Treat them as God would treat them. And this is desperately important as we go through, as we'll see in just a little bit. So the first thing I want to point out tonight as we dive into this is that natural love has no value. Natural love has no value. If you look at 32 through 34, Jesus gives us prime examples of this new love ethic that he's given us. He gives us examples of how not to abide by it and how not to misunderstand the ethic that he has given us. He says in 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that for you? Even sinners love those who love them. 33, if you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. 34, and if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid in full. So he's taking the three things that he's given us in 27 through 31, and he's saying love and goodness and giving. He says, if you do this and you give to those who would reciprocate, and you only give to those who would reciprocate, what credit is that to you? And so credit is an interesting word that we need to focus on, because soon we're going to see how credit is pointing to something different. But that word credit, especially in a Greco-Roman culture, the Rome culture that was now in Jerusalem, there was a specific understanding of how giving and care for others worked. And it really did work under a sense of credit. We would call that reciprocity. So it would be this way. I am going to do good to you. I am going to be a benefactor to you. I am going to give you a gift. I am going to do good for you. I am going to lend to you so that you are indebted to me and that you must return that favor at some point in time. So that's why we call it reciprocity. When something is reciprocal, it kind of moves in a circle. I give to you, you give back to me. I give back to you, you give back to me. It's this kind of constant, ongoing giving. But see, the problem with this, when it speaks of credit, is that the thought process would be that if I was good to you, that is a credit in my bank account with you, and now you are indebted to me. And so then I would fully expect you to come back and give to me, and now I'm indebted to you, so you've credited back into my bank. But the reality behind this is if you are constantly in debt to one another, have you gained anything? Is there truly any credit being built up, or is everything constantly being spent and everybody is effectively has nothing in the sense of goodness and love and gift and lending? The answer is no, there's no credit for that at all. In fact, the Romans were in a huge kind of social imbalance with this because they were trying to always keep track of who owed them what in the sense of being a benefactor. And there was always this power grab to say, I want to be the better benefactor because then you owe me something even greater. So all charity came from selfishness. And that's desperately important. All charity came from selfishness. But then credit has another term, of course, that it comes into kingdom living. And when it comes into kingdom living, what God is saying in this is that this loving others that love you, this giving out of a desire to get something in return has no kingdom profit. And it has no kingdom profit, and he says three times over, this is why it doesn't have a kingdom profit, because sinners do this. Each time he's saying, if you do this, the sinners do this. If you do this, the sinners do this. Even the sinners do that. So the natural question that Jesus is laying before us in these few verses is, do you want to be like the sinners? And the answer to that question, of course, is naturally no. I don't want to be like the sinners. And of course, even more so when we're talking about kingdom credit, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment, of which this action that Jesus is speaking about has none. This is not how Jesus acted towards us. He did not pour out his love on us. He did not die on the cross for us with the expectation that we would do the same for him. In fact, there was no expectation from Jesus that those he died for would in fact worship him. And so we need to bear that in mind. So this particular love ethic here that the Romans had, where it is, I give so that you give back, so that I give so that you give back, said it has no value in Rome, really, in a social standpoint, and it has absolutely zero value from a kingdom standpoint. So the reality behind this is love for those that love you and give back to you has no real standing in human culture, and it has absolutely no credit in godly terms. So natural love has no value on earth, nor does it have value in heaven. So that's the first thing I see in the text that we need to recognize. But then we come to the second part of this. Is that if natural love has no value, and natural giving has no value, and natural lending has no value, but supernatural love has a reward. Supernatural love has a reward. So as you go through those few verses, and you get down to 35, Jesus says, but love your enemies, do what is good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. All right, so this is very important as we go through this. Jesus has made it a point that sinners will give back to each other. It's like mob bosses and mob families. They may be horrible people, and they may be murdering people outside of the family, and they may be shaking down people, but they will give to one another. He said, that's not the family we're building here. He said, we're building a family that loves their enemies and expects nothing in return. Love, do good, and lend. Give money to those without interest or expectation of once you give it, once your love is in a service way, once you are doing good and you'll give the shirt off your back if someone even beats on you, and once you give money, you have no expectation that that will come back. So he's saying there will be no earthly reward for this love. But he does say that as you get into the next part of this, there is a reward. He says, then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. So again, this is this upside down thought process. He starts this verse by saying, do this, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expectation of anything, without expectation of credit, without expectation of reward. And if you do so, you will receive a reward. And that's just kind of an amazing, that's mind-blowing as you think about this. So we need to dive into that a little bit more because we have used this term credit. Well, this term credit is, we can see that there's a line that's being drawn to reward, and somehow these interact with each other. So what are we looking at when we say this? Why? Why are we looking at, we act in this particular way for reward, and is that a bad thing? Okay. So let's ask the question simpler. Do we love our enemies? Do we do good to them? Do we lend to them for reward? Do we do that? And the answer to that question is both no and yes. Both no and yes. And let me explain what I mean by that. First of which, no. No, we don't love our enemies. We don't do good to them, and we don't lend without expectation in return for the reward, right? We are not mercenary Christians. We are not mercenary Christians. And what do I mean by that? I mean this. If all we do going out into the world to love our enemies and do good to them, we only do that with a thought process of earning credit or reward or good behavior towards God, then what we're doing when we love even our enemies is we're doing it out of a selfish heart. And then we truly become mercenary Christians because the only reason we are showing love is because we have an expectation of reward from God. And so now the very love that Jesus is commanding us to do comes down to, I'm only doing this for the reward. And that truly is a mercenary. And if you don't know what a mercenary is essentially someone that in a wartime situation has no country, they work under no flag, and then they will go and they will fight an enemy, only for money being paid by the highest bidder. So you can hire a mercenary to take care of business for you and fight your enemy, but that mercenary does not care for you, for your country, or for your cause. The only reason they fight is for that money. Now, they may do a great job of mopping up your enemy, but they have no love for you. And that's what I mean by mercenary Christian. Because when Christ calls us to love our enemies and to care for them, if we only do that, not in regard for our love for Jesus, but only for the reward that we expect that we're going to get, then we become mercenaries, and really, we don't have love. We have just become selfish all over again. And then the verses that we've just looked at, 32, 33, and 34, are there again. Even sinners do that. They will give this kind of love with the expectation of reward. So, do we love in this way for the reward? No. But also, yes. So let me explain the yes aspect of this. Do we do this for the reward? Yes, because the reward is grand. It is so valuable, but it's not a reward in the way that we typically think of reward. So what is the reward that's given to us? Well, it's spelled out for us. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. So what is the reward that comes from loving our enemies as Jesus loved our enemies? That very reason, one of the greatest rewards that we can ever get is that we become like Christ. That's our whole goal in life, is to give glory to God and walk a sanctified life so that we look more like our Savior. Hence the term Christian, little Christ, like a duck that follows Mama Duck and does everything Mama Duck does. That's what a Christian does. And so we walk after our Savior and every day pray for sanctification. And so that reward of becoming more like Jesus, who wouldn't want that reward? We want that, to become more like our Savior. But that's not just the only reward. We see the rest of it in this. God is gracious to the ungrateful and to the evil. He's saying this, not only is your reward that you become like Jesus, but your reward is also your enemies become like you. And that also is amazing. Our reward is that we become like Christ and our enemies become like us. And what does that mean? It means simply this, is that if we love our enemies in the way that Jesus has loved us, then one day they may not become our enemies anymore. They will be our brothers and sisters. See, the reward that we get is not for some gold. It's not for some value that we think we can spend on. It's for the kingdom, and that God's kingdom would expand on earth through the salvation of those who were once enemies. Our reward is that when we get to heaven and we see our Savior face to face and he hands us a crown, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And then we may be able to look out and see a great many people who were once our enemies and hated us and were terrible to us, but now stand shoulder to shoulder worshiping God. And see, that's a reward we desire. So when I say no, we are not Christian mercenaries, but I do say yes because we are Christian missionaries, and we do want people saved. You've heard me use this illustration before, and I use it because it's so powerful and it's so good. And again, I think John Piper cannot escape any sermon that I preach. It's just that's how much of an impact he's had on my life. But Piper has used this flower illustration of coming home on his anniversary and giving flowers to his wife, and that he knocks on the door and she opens it and hands them her the flowers, and maybe 40 dozen for 40 years, and she says, "Oh, Johnny, why did you do this?" And if his response was, "Because it was my duty," then everything would just fall flat. We don't do it out of a sense of duty. But he says, "I did this because I wanted to bring you unending joy, and I want the reward of your joy." And see, that's a worthy cause. That's worth having that reward. See, his chief aim in that moment is to make his wife happy. And by making his wife happy, by bringing her joy, he finds joy. See, he's received the reward of her joy, but his primary motivation was her joy. And yet that's what he desperately sought after. So it is in the same way. What's the reward that we seek? We seek the reward of pleasing our Father. We seek the reward of becoming more like his Son. We seek the reward of others becoming more like us. And so as we seek the Father's joy, that is our reward. It pours back on us. And there is no greater feeling than receiving the joy of the Father, right? So it's not selfish. It is not mercenary to seek after God's joy and receive that reward. And so lastly, and I think we come to the absolute most important aspect of this verse, and I think really what everything has been steering toward, is that if we see that natural love has no value, and that supernatural love has a reward, the last thing we see is this, is that God's mercy is the gold in the golden rule. God's mercy is the gold in the golden rule. And so as we go through this, what do I mean by God's mercy is the gold in the golden rule? I think we need to take the end of 35 and the beginning of 36 and put them together and really see what's being said here, because it is phenomenal. The end of 35 says, "For he, God, is gracious to the ungrateful and evil." And he ends by saying, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. I don't think those two passages can really be separated, even though we do have in our text a separation by verse. Those thoughts flow together, for he is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Well, what's being said there? He is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Well, he's saying he was gracious to you and me. We were the ungrateful and the evil, every last one of us. There is none that do good, no, not one. We are all enemies. We are all ungracious. We are all ungrateful. We are all evil. And God, in his love, loved his enemies that did not love him. And he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life, right? He has given us his Son. He is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. So his kindness towards the ungrateful and the evil has led to our repentance for both you and for me. And this is so desperately important. Romans 2:4 says this. Romans 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of his kindness, his restraint, and his patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you towards repentance? God's kindness, the riches of his kindness, are there to lead you towards repentance. God is gracious to the ungrateful and evil, and then we take the last and the final step. Whereas the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, the godly rule is mercy. Be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. See, that's the godly command. That's the gold in the golden rule. It's that we do good to others from the expectation of hope that they will do good for us. And not even that, the expectation that they will become godly. That's why he ends with this, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Well, in what way was God merciful? Well, as we've stated, and I hope I've laid out, God's mercy, his kindness, was designed so that you would have repentance and believe in his Son and have life eternal through him. And so, what is the love ethic that Jesus is telling us? Be merciful as your Father is merciful. So really, what's behind the love and the doing good and the lending without any expectation of return? That's mercy. Because mercy at its very core is something that is undeserved and unearned, that is given freely to cover everything. You see, God shows us mercy. And in the same way he was merciful towards us, he desires that we be merciful towards others. Again, with a purpose that they would come to know him, that they would be led to repentance. See, God's kindness shown to us is a kindness that we reflect to others, so that they in turn see a holy God, and by seeing him and seeing how much he loves and that he expects nothing in return, and just that he desires his children come to him, and then out of that love comes obedience and comes the desire for his joy and his glory, then they too will be saved. And so that's the great message of this, on this love ethic, on this upside down world, is why does Jesus call us to love our enemies and do good and to lend, so that we will show them mercy in the same way that God showed us mercy, because he, God, is gracious to the ungrateful and the evil, you and me. So it may be that you are watching tonight and you've heard about mercy and you desire that mercy. I don't think I could say it any more plain. God loves you. God has given his Son for you. And God has shown you mercy. Even if you have hated God in the past, he shows you mercy. And he will rescue you and turn you from an enemy into a son or daughter. And it's not just about making a bad man good. It's making about a dead man alive. He'll give you life. And if you need that tonight, if you desire that tonight, if the Lord is stirring in your heart tonight, don't waste another moment. You can be in front of your computer screen. You don't have to be here. And just say, Lord, save me. Oh, Lord, I desire that mercy. Oh, Lord, I desire that kindness. Oh, Lord, I desire to be your child. And you pray that and say, Father, I believe and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is ready to rescue and pull you out of the storm-tossed seas and save you. And it won't be something that you have to wait until you come back into this church and come back and get baptized. It's now. And so I want to encourage you on that. But if you are here tonight and you are a Christian brother and sister and you're listening to this, I hope these verses that say, if you love those who love you, is of no credit, that sinks in and it hurts a little bit, and it stirs us to recognize that we need to go beyond because our Father went beyond. And we need to reach out and to care for and love on those that hate us and embrace them and not push them away, but instead try to draw them close. And if they take from us, give with no expectation in return. And may the love that Christ has shown us be absolutely reflected in the way that we love this world. And we can't do that without the Holy Spirit. Our God is an awesome God, and I'm so thankful that He has given us His Word and given us His Son and given us His Spirit. And so may we walk fully in His will and way for our life, seeking the reward that comes from seeking His joy. I'm going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed, and we'll stop the stream. But I do want to thank you all so much for being a part of this tonight. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for this time and this evening where we've been able to look at your word. Father, I pray that you would well up inside of us this love. Lord, it can only come from you. Father, it is manifested in your Son. Lord, it is put into practice by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that it would indwell us. Father, that we would move forward from this standpoint, loving our enemies and doing good and giving to them without expectation in return, not so that we seek some reward that profits us, but Father, we seek your joy. We seek being made more like your Son, and we seek the reward of those coming into your presence. Father, may it transform everything we do, as Jesus has transformed our very life. And Lord, I pray for those who may be watching, whether they are watching literally right now, or maybe they find this at another time, that Lord, you would work in their hearts if they don't know you. Lord, you would stir and awaken and quicken them unto life. And Father, that they would bow their knee. Lord, that they would confess their sins. Father, that they would believe in their heart that Jesus died and rose for them and bore their sins on the cross. Lord, that they would confess his name and cry out as Peter did, Lord, save me, knowing full well, with all confidence, that you will do so. Lord, go before us now. Continue to teach us your way. And Lord, I pray this in the beautiful and the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.